Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at Forging Honor, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
Welcome back to the Forging Honor podcast. It is challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for a total of 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. And the current challenge is to simply pray every day for 10 minutes and for that prayer time to focus on resting in the Lord. So Banjo, how are you doing?
Doing well, a little bit better than last time. I think last time I was maybe like two or three in, and this time I'm closer to five. So that's been some better numbers for me this week. Trying to get into still a rhythm with it. I haven't been consistent with kind of when I pray. Would love to kind of maybe get more regular than that. But then again, you know, sticking with the pray at all times without ceasing mentality has been my go-to. We actually had a theology discussion group just on Sunday night, meet at my church, where we talked about prayer a little bit. So that was good. Beck Oderson, who friend of the podcast, wrote an article which I believe is on the Westminster Seminary website. If folks want to check that out, he's got a little article, some thoughts on prayer. Definitely worth taking a look at that. But JJ, how's it been going for you this week?
Yes, better week for me. Well, let me clarify. I only hit 3 out of the 7 days, but it was better in that I felt like those 3 days were quality, and especially today was some of the. I think just getting more comfortable with, 10 minutes of actual silence, and in sitting and trying to focus on resting in the Lord, jumping into this challenge, I was not at all sure what that would actually mean, what that would look like. And I'm still figuring that out, but I think, what I've noticed is in that time, because I've been in a bit of a stressful season with work and balancing various activities and, keeping up with just the growth of my family, it seems like I looked up and my son is he's 2 now, and it's crazy. And it just like that just happened. So anyway, but focusing on resting in the Lord rather than my own strength. And I'm seeing the benefits of that. An example of that for me would be kind of jumping into or looking back at previous challenges. I dropped off a lot of the previous stuff that we've done. And things that come to mind are journaling at the end of the day, or trying to make sure I have a consistent bedtime, exercising regularly. And what I've noticed is that through prayer, I'm not having a rediscovered motivation for that. I think motivation is actually the wrong term, but rather a rediscovered desire for that discipline. So I've kind of been meditating on what does it mean to love the discipline of the Lord? What does it mean to embrace that? Psalm 1 talks about blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God. What does it mean to obey the law of God, and how can we put that into action in our own lives? So that's what I've been pondering. Cause I really think it's coming, a lot of it is coming down to, for me, resting in the Lord really is resting in his provision and what has he provided, but scripture, along with many other secondary things, obviously the very air we breathe, but kind of a return to scripture. And that's been really good for me. What have you noticed thus far?
Well, it's kind of a similar vein thinking about, I'm in a similarly, stressful, a lot of changes. Just this last weekend, I had, a different, stepped into a different speaking engagement that I hadn't done before. That was kind of a stressful situation, and some other things as well. And just like getting into a stage of life of recognizing like, I have 0% control over anything in my life. And that sounds dramatic. And one of the things about like the whole, the manosphere, for lack of a better word, is like, better word is like, take control of your life. And there's like a very good element to saying like, yeah, like take some responsibility, take some ownership for your life. But at the same time, like last couple of weeks, I've just been thinking about, I don't have any control over my life. It's all up to God. And that doesn't negate my responsibility or negate the necessity of my actions. We're commanded to pray. And yet, like the Lord is the one who's in charge of these things. The Lord mm-hmm. is the one who is at work, in me and through me and all of these things. And that's been a great relief to me to say, well, I can give this to the Lord in prayer and then go do what I need to do and trust that he's got it. And that just takes a tremendous burden off of, you know, I'm doing most of the same things that I have been doing, but to feel the weight off my shoulders a little bit of, well, if I don't get this done perfectly, that's okay. God's going to provide. Right. Even if I mess up tremendously, the Lord will still provide. It's not, the universe is not dependent in any way upon my actions. And so that's really comforting. I don't know if that
Sense.
Matches up with.
It's the eternal, well, not eternal, but it's the debate, I think, between kind of the ultra subscribers to something like Stoicism, who, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on, you know, only control what you can control. Don't worry about anything else. And I think a Christian would say, no, what it means to take responsibility and control what you can control is pray about what you can pray about. Pray about what you can pray about. Let God handle that. And that's not to say, I think, because there are those that would take that and then, you know, they never do anything. Like, well, I'm praying, so I'm never going to do anything. And that's clearly in scripture also not, you know, Nehemiah, when he goes out to rebuild the wall, the first thing he does is he walks around the wall and prays all night. And then he goes and builds the wall. Like, he does the action, but he succeeds because he started with prayer. And I think that that's exactly the example we should be following. So rather than this stoic, well, I can't control that, I'm going to move on. You know, there's a sense in which we are called to take agency through the Lord. And I think I'm seeing that in my own life and even just in the short few weeks that we've been doing this.
Yeah. I don't want to mess this idea up, but, one of the things that we talked about on the Sunday theology group was, the concept of contingency when it comes to prayer. So there's certain examples in scripture where, you do not have because you do not ask. Basically, Saul, I think Saul in the Old Testament was one of the main examples of this, of Samuel coming to Saul and saying, you know, you didn't do this. The Lord was going to give you, he was going to give you these things, but you didn't follow after him, and so you're not going to get them. And there's a real, in a real sense, there's a contingency to, if he had done this, then there would have been a better consequence to that, which is not to say that our salvation is dependent on works and all of that. But there is that idea that the Lord is willing to, chooses to use people, uses means to his ends, and we're those means from time to time. Sorry, we're going deep into the systematic theology bag early here. But I think on the flip side of that, there is also there's also this idea that we talked about that I thought was really helpful, that like asking petitions of the Lord is not a requirement of prayer. Like, it's possible to have a whole prayer without asking God for anything. And I think that was like a super helpful reminder to me of just like, when I feel like my prayer life is the most stale is when everything that I'm praying about is, well, Lord, could I have this? And can we do this? And would this be possible? And you know, all this stuff. And, you know, all with the, you know, thy will be done, but it's still pretty me-centered at the end of it. It's still pretty like, I'd like these things to happen. And so one of the things I'm working on this week is trying to get in a better habit of I'm just praying, just tossing up some adoration and some praise, and that's all we're gonna do for right now. I don't know, is that something you've thought much about?
Not so much the fact that petitions are not necessarily required, but yes, in terms of like resting in the Lord, because that has been the focus of this challenge, trying to pray in such a way that's not just kind of the obligatory prayer, right? but rather that opening up for, I guess I should say I am making petitions, but those petitions are often, Lord, help me to see where you are working in my life. Right. That is a petition. I am asking for something, but it's not a petition that's like, hey, Lord, give me this thing or help me out with this job promotion or whatever it is. But rather it's, Lord, help me see how you are working. Help me see how I can rest in you more. So I am asking the Lord to do something. But I'm asking for more of a, the ability to understand how he is caring for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it reminds me of, I'm going to forget who said this, but you know, we're called to think God's thoughts after him. And I think prayer is one of those areas where it's a really good practice ground for that. I catch myself all the time, you know, praying for some things. And I think, well, is that really the way that I'm supposed to pray for that? Mm. And, you know, I think maybe there's an element where it's like, well, I think it's okay to pray for something like that, but am I praying for the right thing? You know, I'm submitting different stories to different magazines, and you know, the instinct is as I'm submitting it to pray, you know, Lord, let me get in. But sometimes I think, well, is that the right prayer to pray? Is it Lord, let me get in, or you know, Lord, let me learn from this, or you know, open the right door, help me to accept when this door closes, you know, and also not doing that in kind of like a fatalistic or a reverse jinxy kind of way, mm-hmm. Which is well within my range of tendencies. But more to say, you know, let me love the things that the Lord wants me to love, which I think is not particularly easy.
Not always. No, I do think, you know, I look at what Lewis says about work, right? If it's not clearly outside the bounds of scripture or clearly outside the bounds of what is allowed by God, then it's a valuable job. It's something to pursue. And I kind of think the same thing for prayer. That said, the Lord always answers our prayers, but it's not always how we want them. So if we're praying for something, like for example, you wanting to get an article or a short story into a magazine, and you're praying for that, I don't think it's a wrong thing to pray for that and to ask for the Lord's kindness in that. But you know, sometimes the answer will be no, and that's an answer in and of itself, right? So perhaps it might be like the attitude in which you do it really matters, because if it's, Lord, help me get this thing published or else, yeah, it's like, that's the wrong attitude. It's Lord, I would really like to see this published. If it be your plan, please, you know, let it be done. And you know, either way, all glory be to God, right?
Yeah. This is a little tangential.
Sure.
But we were having a conversation about prayer at church, mm-hmm. in our group, and I wanted to ask you about this. We were talking about praying out loud versus praying in your head, and not the one is better than the other in any way, but just kind of like tendencies, like which way do you tend to go? I was thinking about this today because I was thinking about like growing up, I always would pray out loud. And I remember there being a time of life where my dad was like, you know, you can pray in your head, right? Like, you don't always have to pray out loud. And I was like, wait, really? Like, that's an option?
Wait, God can hear my thoughts?
That was an option.
Right, that's right. Scary. Oh, no.
I thought it didn't count unless I said it out loud. And then, you know, for a long stretch there, I was like, well, I, you know, kind of only pray in my head. And now I'm trying to kind of like go, you know, find ways when I'm even by myself to pray out loud, which I think is a lot more vulnerable and scary for some reason. I'm not sure why, but do you have a preference? Do you do one or the other?
Both. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on time and place as well as what posture you're trying to approach. When I say posture, I mean, are you literally, opening yourself up to the Lord? And I think praying out loud forces you to slow down.
Yeah.
And it forces you to focus on the posture of that prayer a little more. So I think that there is time and place, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't read anything one way or the other. I'm not an expert on prayer either, so I can't answer that. I will say I have found that actually the physical position also affects things. So like I've tried praying on my knees, and that makes a difference. It's if only because it's a physical symbol of what we do when we come before the Lord. Even if I'm standing up, walking around, praying in my head, my posture should be that of someone coming on his knees to his King, right?
Yeah.
This is not a hey, buddy, would you do this thing for me? Right. It's just not. As much as people like to talk about, you know, oh, Jesus is a best friend type thing. Jesus is your big brother.
Right.
Sure. But remember, you're praying in Christ's name to God the Father most of the time. I mean, you know, there's
good to come with that sense of reverence and awe.
I think there's a sense of reverence. And that's not to say that, I mean, the Lord, he's also our Father. And, you know, a father loves to give good gifts. And, you know, my 2-year-old son will run in and be like, you know, Daddy, can I have this? And it's like, of course I want to give it to him, right? And so he doesn't always come with the posture of humility because he's 2. But I think there's a time and place for that.
Yeah, and I my guess would be that eagerness trumps you know,
humility.
The humility, you know, in terms of like, you'd rather have your son come to you with eagerness than with humility on most days, I would imagine. Certainly, right. There would be some cases where you'd want, you know, a specified humility.
It's also not though. Like, all right, I'm going to write up this proposal, get it cross checked by this committee, right. And then we'll submit it and see what happens. We do have direct access to the throne, but it's a throne, right. So there's it's striking that balance. And of course, time and place, and you know, there's nothing is ideal about the day to day human experience. I say nothing. There's a lot of great things that God has given us. But there's the slight pessimistic side of me coming out. There's never, I don't think anyone is able to live the life that they think they should be living, which means there's a lot of kind of like, oh, well, I don't have the perfect amount of time to sit and be on my knees and pray out loud in a dark room away from everybody today. Well, maybe that just means I gotta pray while I'm driving to work. Like that happens.
Yeah, and that's good. There's two sides to this, and I'm not really sure, kind of which is causing which, or if it's probably both at the same time. I think I told you about it. I started doing the morning pages, the writing 3 pages every morning, as a challenge. Talked about that a little bit here. One of the in this book that I'm working through, The Artist's Way, which is an interesting read, you know, it's definitely a little out there, but I found it helpful in a number of things so far. But one of the things it kind of is talking about this week, it's a week by week challenge, and one of their pieces of advice for this week is to really pull back. It said, actually, you may find a desire to pull back from different forms of media this week. And every time I read through these, like, things that might happen to you, every time I read it, I go, that's not going to happen to me this week. That's not going to, I'll be fine. I'm an independent person. And every time it ends up happening, like last week, it was like, you might find yourself getting more angry because you're like expressing yourself more than usual. And I was like, I'm not an angry person. I don't get angry at people. That's not going to happen to me. And I got into like almost shouting matches with people over the course of the week. And I was like, oh, maybe they're right. So anyway, one of the things is like this week is like a desire for like stillness and being away from different forms of media and listening to different things. And I've really found it to be the case. I don't know if it's this Artist's Way book or trying to spend more time in prayer, but like, normally on my way to and from work, I like to listen to podcasts. The last couple of weeks, the couple of days, I haven't wanted to listen to podcasts. It's been like, I'm a little averse to it. And some of that is wanting to like sit in silence and pray. And some of it is just wanting to kind of like listen to music quietly and think. But I feel myself building that muscle of kind of introspection and being okay with stillness. And that time with the Lord is becoming more valuable to me in a way where it's like, well, I don't want to lose that time. Like I want to protect that time a little bit. I don't know. Have you had similar experiences or different?
Definitely. definitely feeling that way. And I think, I don't know how much of that we said we wouldn't mention the most recent major political events that have been happening in the U.S. I don't know how much of my desire just to not pay attention to podcasts and kind of, you know, pull back from media has been. I had such an overwhelming amount of it there for a couple weeks, or how much of it is trying to focus in on prayer. I will say the prayer has helped through that and has been such an obvious replacement. I think that's a key part here. Regardless of the cause, as you take things out of your life, what do you replace them with? And in this case, this challenge is an excellent option. You can, any amount of time that you don't do something, that you're not spending doing something else, you could be praying. You know, we had a great challenge. One of our pastors gave a talk on politics recently. And one thing, I may have mentioned this last episode, but one thing he said was, you know, are you spending more time in prayer than you are on social media? And, you know, I think that convicted a lot of us listening to him, because it's both a conviction for the pure amount of time that we spend online, but also conviction for the pure amount of time that we don't spend praying. Like, I don't think he was saying you have to spend more time praying than you spend on social media, but he was definitely saying you should evaluate that relationship. And so that's something I've been trying to do, is just, okay, I do spend a lot of time, not just on social media, but whether it's social media or just finding distractions, you know, it's been the default for my wife and I for a while to just pull up a TV show in the evening. It's like, well, maybe we should be praying together. Have we considered that? So that's been good and convicting. And I think that's some of the fruit of this. And I think part of that is too, the specific requirement that we've put in here for rest and seeking rest in that, rather than, oh, go pray your imprecatory psalms before the Lord. There's a time and a place, but we're calling for rest here. And I think that's something we could all use more of.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And just again, as a word of encouragement to folks, you know, I really like what you're saying there. Feeling similarly convicted about, like, ooh, how much time do I spend on YouTube?
Right.
How much time of that?
Man, YouTube is such a time suck.
Oh, it's so addicting. But just thinking about, like, you know, even the idea of spending, like, you know, TV shows amount of time in prayer. That's, you know, short TV shows, 20 minutes, longer show, 40 minutes, an hour. Like, in my mind, it's like, whew, that's a long time to pray. But I don't feel that way about, like, watching the TV show. I'd be right. Like, oh, that's a, I'd be like, why aren't we watching two episodes? And I think for me, it's like, okay, we'll bite off little chunks.
Right.
And that's been really helpful for me so far in this challenge, is like saying, okay, just do 10 minutes or even just do 5 minutes and just, you know, start small and just notice how much things change in the 30 minutes around that prayer time. Like, just making it really tangible like that and really small, I think is really helpful. And I think it's also, you know, going back to the idea of, like, you don't need to have a petition to pray. Hmm. I think it also has to do with, like, well, how much does your worldview change when you pray? Like, that's actually the thing that gets affected the most. I don't think too much about the amount of prayers that I get, like, a positive answer on. Like, oh, yeah, that paid off. If when I do, it's like over years, like almost decades worth of prayer and seeing how the Lord has answered things that I've been praying for over like years and years. But in the day to day, the greatest thing that I see out of prayer is how it orients my life in a particular way, where I say, like, this is the most important thing to me, not even the food that I'm eating should be as important as my time in scripture and prayer. And that's not the way it feels, like, ever, but it's the way that it should. And I think that's pretty, that's just interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at things, I think.
Well, I do think it's the most regular thing that we should be doing. And I say that as someone that needs that encouragement. We're told man does not live by bread alone. And I think one of the best ways that we can remind ourselves of the words of scripture is to pray, because when you don't know what to pray, you just pray scripture. And I found myself today, for example, I've been praying for a little bit and I was like, I don't know how to continue here. Well, I know some Psalms by memory. I can pray those back. So just pray through the Psalms. I'm excited to see how much that continues to do. both spiritually and then also just kind of the surrounding, everything that comes with it and the encouragement that comes from the Lord in, all right, you know what you need to do. Now go do it. You can do a good job at work today. You can care for your family. Because when I don't pray, I'm not encouraged in those things. But when I am praying, I'm going, oh, I can be a better husband, better father. And the Lord can care for me in that.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I had a conversation with a student last week where we were talking about an essay that they had written for college and it had to do with what job they wanted. And I asked the student, you know, they wanted to be a lawyer. I said, why do you want to be a lawyer? And they said, well, I want a job that is so, like, I can't mess up at anything, so I have to be perfect at it all the time. Like, I want something that's high stakes enough that I know that I can't mess up, because if I mess up, you know, I'll lose the job. And a lawyer would be a job where I have to be so detail-oriented, I have to get everything right, otherwise everything's going to fall apart. And kind of like looking through their essay and kind of looking through the way that they were thinking through problems, I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I take that back. It makes a ton of sense if you're living in a world of fear. Like, if you're entirely fear-based, that's a 100%.
Fear-driven.
Yeah, it's a 100% rational way of looking at the world is, well, let me get into this situation where the pressure is so high on me that I can't fail. I have to succeed because that's where the stakes are. And it was kind of convicting because I was like, well, how many times do I do that? How many times do I put myself in a scenario where the bar is so high that I have to get over it or the world's going to crumble? That's the procrastinator's delight. I think a properly balanced prayer life really levels that and really changes the dynamic, because instead of living from a spirit of fear, you know, you're living by the Spirit. And you're saying, well, you know, this, I know this is a misapplication of this passage, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, I do have that, actually thinking about the proper, you know, the proper context of that passage is contentment, right?
Right,
I can
right.
be content in all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that's really the point, is like, hey, you can fail. Your life can fall apart. You can, as the old SNL sketch says, end up living in a van down by the river,
which everyone wants for some reason now, but regardless,
that is a lifestyle. And you can glorify God in that. Like,
yes,
there's
yes.
a way to do that. That is okay.
Well,
not pleasant maybe, but
right.
still glorifying to God.
Well, a couple comments on that. You mentioned being fear driven. I do think there's an appropriate place to be fear driven, and that's in the fear of the Lord, right? There is right. a time and a place to, out of fear for the Lord and out of fear for, in a godly fear, we fear him in the way we fear a father, right? We want to please him the way we want to please our father. So in that sense, we do what we are called to do. And also there's a sense in which, yes, we do fail, but it's not a failure if it's what the Lord had, like, if the Lord had in store for us that we would, you know, fail at work through, we did all that we could, whatever, something happened. Well, maybe that's just part of God's plan. It's not a failure on our part. So I think that there's certainly a sense. I don't think it's necessarily taking it out of context to say, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all the things that he has provided for me to do. And every challenge that God puts in front of us, there's a reason. So we go forth and do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just that this kind of, if we can get a handle on that idea, if we can get a handle on the idea that this is not a, we are not success-based, and that prayer isn't always about, do we succeed or do we fail?
Right.
Kind of like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we get a handle on that and I don't know, I just think start to view the world in a totally different way.
Well, it's not even about, this is idea I'm just having. It's not even about, do we succeed or fail, but does God succeed or fail? And God doesn't fail.
Right.
Right. So what might look like a failure in our lives is not a failure in any grand scheme of things, because it's not about us. Right. If we're just,
right.
if we're living out the plan that God has for us, then it's success all the way around, because it only, all that matters is it God's success?
There is a sense, though, to flip it the other way. Like, there is a sense where we need to be in our prayer and in our reading of Scripture. Like, we need to be going to the mirror of God's Word,
right,
and coming away changed. Like, I think it would be wrong for us to say, like, well, like, we wouldn't want to come away from this conversation and be like, well, I can't fail, and so anyone who you know, anyone who critiques me is wrong because I can't fail in the sight of God. No, you can fail. Like, that's
and you do a lot. Like, and we're talking, like, in some broad theological terms here. So
right, and playing fast and loose with definitions. I mean, what's new?
Welcome to Forging Honor, folks.
but we're gonna be drawn closer to our Savior,
right,
through our prayer life and by the working of the Holy Spirit. And I think we can have great confidence in that. And that prayer is a place of rest. It's greener pastures. It's still waters. We have a series in the Psalms at church on Sunday evenings, and just time and time again, you're just kind of being reminded of how many times the Psalms are filled with, you know, the psalmist saying, like, oh, how long, O Lord? You know, how long is this going to go on? Longing for that rest, seeking that rest. And I think it's really comforting that we have so many models of prayer that match that say, hey, you're going to be going through a rough patch. That's not a surprise. And there's a reason for that, and God's got it in hand. But living that out is very difficult, I think.
Absolutely. Excellent stuff. Any final words, any plans to change going into this week?
I think one thing I'll be looking out for is just, like, opportunities to pray for others. Mm-hmm. I just had a student kind of walk by me in the hall today and ask for prayer for something. And I thought, and they kind of ran off before I could say anything, but I thought, oh, wait, I should have just, like, stopped and prayed right then. Like, that was a moment for that. We could have done it right there. The student would have been blessed. I would have been blessed. God would have been glorified in that. And I ended up praying later, but just taking those moment by moment opportunities to do something like that, I think, is the next step in the right direction for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think for me, I really like that. I really like stopping and praying with folks. That's something I should try to do more. But one thing I did today that I hadn't really done was kind of use that time as a reset. And so I want to do that more. What I mean by that is, you know, kind of what I've been trying to do before this week was, you know, wake up and start first thing with prayer. And, you know, that was going to be my thing. But today I didn't do that. But midway through the afternoon, I was feeling kind of out of it. I've been slammed all morning at work, and I just didn't want to get back into and work on some stuff that I needed to do. So I was just like, you know, I'll just do my prayer right now. And that reset was what I needed to just knock out my afternoon. There was something about that moment in prayer and that time in focusing on, okay, why am I even doing this, Lord? You know, help me through this. That was a great way to use that. So I think I'm going to try that more, just kind of as resets throughout my day of like, okay, we can focus on what the Lord is doing here.
Nice. Love it. I'll have to try and use that myself.
Very good. Well, hope it's a good week for you, Banjo. I'm looking forward to next week. We have a guest coming on, and we hope everybody enjoys that conversation. So come back.
This has been the Forging Honor Podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com. There you'll find information about our community, The Forge, and how to join other young men seeking to glorify God in thought, word, and deed. You'll also find blog articles, book recommendations, and more ways to grow as a Christian man.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend or family member about Forging Honor. We would also appreciate it if you would take a moment to like and subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, a rating and review only takes a moment, and it goes a long way towards growing the Forging Honor community.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.